Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 43 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
And you know what your child looks like when they're better. And if that's not the case, then you've got to get reevaluated.
Health officials say parents should be cautious this flu season.
A rock slide damaged a business and several vehicles in Pikeville.
Knott County has declared a state of emergency following severe weather damages.
Kentuckians may see steeper electronic bills in the near future.
A Moorhead woman accused of murder agreed to plead guilty to lesser charges.
In sports, the Lady Vikings face off with Menifee for the district championship tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers tonight, cloudy with lows around 42 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The flu has been a big issue for children this year, and several school systems in eastern Kentucky have closed because of the virus. Dr. Thomas Rushton is an infectious diseases specialist with St. Mary's Medical Center. He told WSAZ, sometimes symptoms don't present themselves quickly, and that every child may react differently to the virus.
We have more shortness of breath. We're just not getting better. You know, usually we have a fever, the fever goes away. If the fever's not going away, more shortness of breath, child looks like that, more distress, just doesn't look right. They need to be reevaluated.
Dr. Rushton says parents should not send their sick child back to school unless their fever is gone for at least 24 hours. Parents should also consider how much energy the child has and if they are still coughing and sneezing.
A road in Floyd County has been shut down until further notice. Kentucky 1428 in Floyd County between mile points 11 and 12 had to be closed this week. According to EKB, the road is the site of a recurring mudslide. Officials say the hillside still has a considerable amount of material that is unstable and could end up on the pavement at any time. There are no houses or businesses in the slide area, however, drivers will not be able to go from Lancer to Prestonsburg through Goble Roberts and Sugarloaf until the road reopens. Officials say until the hillside dries out and the potential for a recurring problem can be mitigated, the road will remain closed.
A business and several cars are damaged following a rock slide in Pikeville. It happened 2 a.m. this morning on South Mayo Trail. Officials say rocks, trees, and other debris fell onto two to three parked cars sitting at road-tested tire and auto. No one was injured. The Pikeville 911 Public Safety Director tells WSAZ this is the fifth slide they've had this week.
New financial issues are surfacing in the Knott County Road Department. According to WYMT, the Knott County Road Department only has about $35,000 in its account, while the county faces $150,000 in damages due to severe weather. Judge Executive Jeff Dobson declared a state of emergency in the county last week.
The hardest thing is you got folks like that lives in this holler here. They can get up to here and can't go beyond this flag, and you know it's a safety issue, and they can't drive over this road, and they're having to walk onto their home.
Calf Hollow is the only road that is impassable, and other roads in the county affected have been temporarily fixed. However, with the state of emergency being declared, county officials hope they will receive aid from the state to finish making necessary repairs.
Kentuckians may notice a change with their electric bill in the near future. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
Louisville Gas and Electric and Kentucky Utilities are asking for a combined $172 million in rate hikes. According to LEX18, the company claims the money would be used for upgrades which could prevent outages, reduce service interruptions, and quickly restore outages. If approved, the rate hikes would mean an extra $109 a year for LG&E residential customers and an extra $116 a year for KU Electric customers. A public meeting for comment on the rate hikes is set for 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Bluegrass Community and Technical College in Newtown. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
Doctors are trying a new unorthodox method to help mothers addicted to opioids. According to WKYT, the University of Kentucky's Beyond Birth program uses medically assisted treatment to help mothers come off opioids with Suboxone. Bethany Wilson, a young mother, helped by this form of treatment, says people's outlook on it needs to change.
It's very hush-hush about it. And so if you don't hear those, you're only hearing negative things, then it won't move forward and get better.
Wilson now helps other pregnant women affected by substance abuse disorder.
We'll be right back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Legislation that would recognize, certify, and regulate home birth midwives in Kentucky passed the state Senate Thursday by a 32-4 vote. If passed, Senate Bill 84 would create a council to advise the State Board of Nursing on the creation of regulations regarding qualifications, standards for training, competency, and any necessary statutory changes, and all other matters relating to certified professional midwives. About 700 babies are born at home in Kentucky every year. That's despite the fact the state stopped issuing permits to home birth midwives in 1975. Home birth midwives were also eager to legitimize their already robust industry. Opponents of the bill are concerned that women seeking to give birth at home during high-risk pregnancies would endanger the baby's life. SB 84 now goes to the House of Representatives for consideration.
Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Conservation officers would have more powers under a bill that has passed the State House. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
Current state law prohibits conservation officers from acting outside of the Department of Wildlife unless called on by the Kentucky State Police. But under House Bill 274, conservation officers would have the authority to enforce all state laws whenever necessary. In addition, the bill would allow officials to be compensated if they are required to pay damages or other costs as a result of a job-related lawsuit. House Bill 274 passed the House by a vote of 97-1. It now goes to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate Adam Edelin said today he wants to make changes to Kentucky's criminal justice system from start to finish, with proposals spanning pretrial bail to restoration of voting rights for nonviolent felons who served their time. Edelin also called for a review of probation and parole policies, saying technical violations that put people back behind bars are big contributors to overcrowded jails. The former state auditor says one way to reduce jail overcrowding and reap big cost savings for local governments is to change the bail system for criminal defendants. Kentucky lawmakers are considering a bill this year to revamp the bail system. Edelin pledged to take action if elected, even if the legislature does not pass the bill. He is one of four candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for governor in the May 21st primary. The others are State Attorney General Andy Beshear, State House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins, and frequent candidate Jeff Young. On the Republican side, Governor Matt Bevin is seeking re-election, but faces challenges from William Woods, Ike Lawrence, and State Representative Robert Goforth.
Addiction Recovery Care is teaming up with the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation to learn more about a new drug addiction treatment called CORE 12. CORE 12 is a medically assisted treatment program that gives addicts medication like Suboxone. ARC spokesman Eric Mills tells WYMT they are taking public opinion into account with clinical and peer support.
Medically assisted treatment, Suboxone, is a very controversial topic. Yeah. When we look at what medical decisions mean, they are a decision between the person who needs help and their treatment providers.
Officials with the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation say this combination of treatments is a good thing.
Lexington homeowners are showing disinterest in a new apartment proposal. WKYT reports a New York-based developer wants to build a nearly 150,000 square feet apartment complex with 128 apartment units right off Todd's Road. Residents of Andover Woods Lane are right across from the proposed apartment complex, and many of them are not happy with the plans. Those residents are saying the complex has no place in the neighborhood.
It does change kind of the makeup of this neighborhood. It just doesn't have a place right here.
We're all concerned, and we don't need this kind of traffic. We don't need this kind of building in a residential area.
Neighbors were not satisfied with meeting with the developer's representative and have decided to fight the proposal. A planning commission hearing on the zone change proposal is scheduled for February 28th at 1:30 p.m.
A Moorhead woman accused of murder agreed to plead guilty to lesser charges this week. 33-year-old Sabra McCarty was charged with murder and wanton endangerment in the vehicle collision that killed 23-year-old Sarah Cottle on May 1, 2016. McCarty's blood alcohol content at the time of the accident was 0.21. In a pretrial conference on Tuesday, McCarty agreed to plead guilty to first-degree manslaughter, a Class B felony, DUI, and first-degree wanton endangerment. Formal sentencing has been scheduled for March 21st. McCarty faces up to 30 years in prison.
A former UK freshman accused of fatally hitting a 4-year-old with his vehicle has pled not guilty to charges against him. On Friday morning, Jacob Heil appeared in court to be arraigned on one charge of reckless homicide and one charge of DUI under 21. According to LEX18, Heil's attorney entered a not guilty plea to both charges and waived a formal arraignment. Heil is accused of driving the car that struck Marco Shimwell near Kroger Field back in September. Shimwell later died from his injuries. Heil is due back in court March 7th for a pretrial hearing and March 22nd for a status hearing.
Laurel County deputies arrested a woman Thursday afternoon after finding Rice Krispie treats laced with marijuana. Deputies say they pulled 31-year-old Ashley Mullins over because the license plate on her truck was expired. Deputies noticed Mullins' bloodshot eyes and slurred speech. They also found Rice Krispie treats and fudge candy in the car, which were laced with marijuana. Mullins admitted to deputies that she baked them. Mullins is charged with operating a motor vehicle under the influence, possession of marijuana, no registration plates, and no registration receipt. Taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, showers likely with a low around 40. Saturday, cloudy with periods of rain and a high of 57. Saturday night, showers likely and a low around 50. Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 53. Sunday night, clear and a low of 25. Monday, sunny with a high of 44. Monday night, overcast with a low of 26. Taking a look at our region's temperatures, in Ashland, it's 45. In Winchester, it's 43. In Inez, it's 42. In Lexington, it's 43. In Flemingsburg, it's 44. And here in Moorhead, it's 44 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff asks, would you teach a child, or anyone, that working is not connected to earning?
What is the insanity that has gripped Stockton, California, and other cities around the world? Universal basic income. UBI means that selected people, selected by well-to-do government employees, we should note, are given money just for breathing. No work, no strings, no obligations. Well, not free exactly, since someone had to pony up this cash, and that would be the people who are working. On the idealized, compassionate level, this is government complicity in good-heartedness. Recipients will be freed up, the theory goes, by this money to participate, innovate, cooperate, collaborate, all of the eights the communityists love. Oh, please, the payment is $500 a month. $500 a month in Stockton, California? $500 in a state where the median home price approaches $500,000? $500 to help people live in a state that is so broke, so broken that its historically beautiful major cities are layered with filth, homeless encampments, open drug abuse, uninvestigated larceny, and massive waste, fraud, and abuse. $500 a month with no strings is somehow going to work to address these systemic one-party-driven problems? No, but the free money will do a lot to help people feel better, and that's got to be worth something, doesn't it? And who cares about the deficit? We're being nice, and nice is nice, isn't it? Given randomly selected people free money with absolutely no strings and no requirement to work, produce, or otherwise return some value to the system that is paying them, is insane. It is backward. It will never work to solve problems or help people. It will work to keep the party that started it in office in perpetuity. It will also predictably end up eating itself. Here's how. Let's face it. The next step, once an average UBI is established, is going to be pressure to raise it. $500 a month, please. Families need more. Innovative thinkers who want to spend time in their communities without having to work want more. They need more. How insulting to think that a mere $500 is going to take care of me and my family. That's cruel. That's almost as bad as giving us nothing. Shame. If you want to be decent, make the UBI amount decent. Make it equal to a congressperson's or a city councilperson's salary. After all, most of them get paid for doing nothing, and it seems to be working just fine. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Teach your child to fish, right? Don't just hand them a halibut. And what is wrong with working? Why not attach some labor to money? Is working for pay now some sort of enslavement, the cure for which is only to give people money for doing nothing? Oh, I do believe that's Alice at the door. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
The Lady Vikings and the Lady Wildcats face off tonight in Morehead for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. Rowan and Menifee County face off tonight in Morehead for the 61st District Championship game. The matchup is a repeat of last year's district final where the Lady Cats pulled out the win. Lady Viking head coach Matt Stokes says he was glad the game had to be pushed back a day due to heavy rain in the region.
We've got a couple who are battling some illnesses, and I'm hoping the one that, you know, I got the message from this morning, she was at the game last night, so I'm hoping it didn't, you know, it might be a good thing that we move back another day if she's got the flu and someone else starts getting sick, gives them that extra day, maybe they can try to recoup. It's the season for it, so we're kind of just, we're crossing our fingers and hoping we can get by.
Tip-off tonight in Morehead is set for 7 p.m. Taking a look at other district championship games across the 16th region tonight, the girls of East and West Carter face off for the 62nd district title tonight in Olive Hill. The Lady Comets won all three matchups between the cross-county rivals during the regular season. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. The boys of Lewis County and Raceland meet for the 63rd district title tonight. The Lewis Lions took wins at both meetings for the teams in regular season action. Tip-off in Vanceburg is set for 7 p.m. The draw for the 16th regional tournament will be held in Morehead on Saturday. WMKY's Grant Johnson has a story.
Morehead State will once again host this year's regional tournament, which is slated to tip off Monday night at Johnson Arena. The girls' teams from Boyd, Russell, Lewis, Ashland Blazer, Menifee, Rowan, East, and West Carter will battle through the first round. The Lady Lions of Boyd County are favored to win the championships this year with 25-4 overall record this season. They have one regional loss this year to Ashland Blazer on December 1st. A win this season will make it 3 in a row for Boyd County. The boys' teams from Lewis, Ashland Blazer, Boyd, Round, Bath, West Carter, Elliott, and Raceland will be fighting for this year's regional title. The Elliott County Lions are favored to win the tournament with a 24-3 overall record and 17 regional wins. Boyd County took home the championship last season, but Elliott was a champion in 2017. The draw for the tournament scheduling will be held Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Adrian Dorn University Center at MSU. For WMKY Sports, I'm Grant Johnson.
Morehead State men's basketball hopes to reverse its fortunes Saturday night when they battle at Tennessee Tech. The Eagles have played in tight contest in recent days, losing four of the last five games by just a combined 5 points. Head coach Preston Spradlin talks about how his team is preparing for their next matchup.
You know, I told our guys on Monday that this time of year, a lot of it's about being efficient. You know, can you be efficient with your practice time? And that way that when you get to those Thursdays and Saturdays, that you're fresh and that you're prepared. And the only way you got to do that is you got to have a mature approach. We're going to do exactly what we always do. We're going to wake up tomorrow. We're going to watch tape from this one. We're going to put it behind us. We'll come in here at Jacksonville's Arena and have a short practice just to get us prepared and touch up on the things we need to do for Tennessee Tech.
The Eagles are in sixth place in the OVC with a 6-9 record in league play. The top eight teams will earn entry into the conference's postseason tournament, and a victory for MSU would help solidify their position. Tip-off in Cookeville, Tennessee is scheduled for 8:30 p.m. on Saturday night. That game will air live on ESPN Plus and WIVY 96.3 FM. The MSU women look to rebound from a tough loss to Jacksonville State on Thursday when they head to Cookeville Saturday night to take on Tennessee Tech. A win would move the Eagles into a second-place tie with the host school in OVC standings. Head coach Greg Todd says his team is going to have to move on quickly from their loss against Jacksonville State if they hope to score a win over the Golden Eagles.
There's not much you can do at this point, but you know, talk about it, try to learn a little bit from it, and game Saturday is a very important game, so you just have to move forward.
Tip-off between MSU and Tennessee Tech is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Saturday night. The Eagles return home February 28th to take on Murray State before heading to Richmond to face EKU in the regular season finale. MSU baseball continues its four-game series against Oakland with a doubleheader this afternoon. They opened yesterday with a 13-12 win. The Eagles won Game 2 by a score of 16-3, and Game 3 is currently underway. Head coach Mike McGuire says his team will have to keep focused for the rest of the series against an Oakland ball club that he believes is underrated.
I'm happy we found a way to win, and we got to come back and play again tomorrow. Oakland, don't be deceived by their record. I mean, they're a much better club than what their record is so far. They've played four close games now, and you know, had a good, you know, the arms they ran out, I thought were pretty good. So, you know, I think they're going to be a formidable club to face again tomorrow.
MSU and Oakland will wrap up their series when they square off on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Eagles will then be off until Wednesday when they hit the road for a one-off contest against Charlotte before opening a three-game series at home against New Jersey Tech on March 2nd. Morehead State women's softball hits the road this weekend for twin doubleheaders in Hampton, Virginia on Sunday and Monday. The first of the team's two doubleheaders had originally been scheduled for Saturday, but heavy rainfall forced the event to be postponed by a day. MSU head coach Samantha Jones says her team will make the most of the extra day off.
You know, a lot of benefits to that. You know, a day where the girls get a little bit extra rest, maybe some extra treatment, a couple more practices that we can get in to work on some defensive and offensive things. And a good travel day where you're not really having to worry about school and all we got to do is just get on the bus and get down there, relax, take our time, and play on Sunday and then play on Monday.
The 0-9 Eagles are still looking for their first win of the year. MSU has played all of its games so far on the road. After this weekend's action, the team will be off until March 6th when they play their home opener against Marshall. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Basketball welcomes Murray State for an evening doubleheader on Thursday, February 28th. The women's game begins at 5:05 and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets available at the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as another round of trade talks between the U.S. and China wrapped up with investors increasingly more hopeful a deal will be struck. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 181.18 at 26,031.81. The S&P 500 was up 17.79 at 2792.67, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 67.84 at 7527.54. The Dow Industrials posted its ninth consecutive weekly gain, its longest streak since May 1995, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ also notched its ninth straight weekly gain, and this is the longest streak for the NASDAQ since May 2009. In trade news, the Chinese vice premier delivered a letter to President Trump today saying Chinese President Xi Jinping hopes the two countries can redouble their efforts to strike a trade deal. The major indices fell from their session highs on those comments. And Trump's meeting with the vice premier today comes after a U.S. delegation met with the Chinese premier Xi last week. And sources say that Trump and Xi are also discussing a summit at Mar-a-Lago for late in March. Intel shares rose more than 2% after a brokerage firm upgraded the stock to overweight from equal weight, noting Intel could get a boost now that Bob Swan is the full-time CEO. And shares of Kraft Heinz plummeted 27.5% after the consumer products company disclosed an SEC subpoena from an investigation into its accounting practices. The company also disclosed a $15.4 billion write-down. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.4%, finishing at $57.19 a barrel, while gold was up 0.2% at $1,330.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. And in Asia, most markets were higher, with the Shanghai up 1.9% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Pfizer, while the worst performers were Coca-Cola and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Intuit and Western Digital, while the worst performers were Kraft Heinz and Campbell Soup. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 22 cents at $43.43, Marathon Petroleum up 33 cents at $64.99, AK Steel down 5 cents at $3.16, Anthem up $5.45 at $3.1675, Yum Brands up 50 cents at $95.38, and Delta Airlines was up 4 cents, finishing at $51.52. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
The Moorhead History and Railroad Museum will host an old-fashioned checkers tournament beginning at 9 a.m. on Saturday, February 23rd. That's tomorrow. Two divisions will compete, and winners of each division will win prizes. Refreshments will be available. There is no entry fee, but registration is required. Call 606-356-7071 to register.
MSU choirs will host a chili cook-off dinner and concert at the Moorhead First Baptist Church on Tuesday, February 26th. Dinners begin at 5:30 p.m., followed by the MSU Choral Showcase at 7:30. Enter your chili and eat for free. The concert is also free. Dinner tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for students, and free for children 6 and under. Proceeds support Moorhead State University choirs. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight showers likely with a low around 40. Saturday, cloudy with periods of rain and a high of 57. Saturday night, showers likely and a low around 50. Sunday, partly cloudy and a high of 53. Taking a look at your region's temperatures. In Ashland, it's 45. In Winchester, it's 43. In Inez, it's 42. In Lexington, it's 43. In Flemingsburg, it's 44. And here in Moorhead, it's 44 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Leanne Akers, Grant Johnson, Nacogdoches Miller, Keneally Roberts, Cody Robinson, Shamari Mosley, Haley Stidham, Tandy Wallingford, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. And Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya and Dwaza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.